Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I love
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy.
With my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
memory.
Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we ask the Holy Spirit, Father, to take over this service, to use us to speak to those, Father, that will hear with the truth of this your word, Heavenly Father. Because we know that as He speaks, there's no mistakes, and all is truthful. Now, Father, be with us throughout this service. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive. And Father, if there's any that will hear this morning that are not saved, may the Holy Spirit work with them, turn them around to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, bring Him into their lives, walk for Him and with Him. Father, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've been going through the Bible, and you know we're doing it and studying each part of it as we go through. On Saturdays and Sundays, we are in the New Testament, Acts back. Monday and Tuesday, we're in the Old Testament. Wednesday, we're reading Revelation. Thursday and Friday, we're in the four Gospels. We had been studying the last time we was in New Testament, last weekend. We had read about Stephen and where they had elected seven men to be deacons in the church. Although they didn't call them that at that time, today that's what we call them. Stephen, one of the first ones, was stoned. And the last two verses of chapter 7 says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But I want you to see how the heart and mind of a true man of God, they're stoning him to death, which is a horrible death. You think about how many hurts, how many pains he had felt before he finally was killed. 6:60 says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He was more concerned for them than he was himself. And that's what we all should be. We are all to be more concerned with others than with ourselves. But that is not the way it is today, is it? There's nothing like ourselves. We don't have patience to deal with others. We don't have patience to even wait upon the Lord. Everything just got to be done right that minute, just the way we want it. Now here a man is being killed by stoning, and yet he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He's gone. You know, as they were stoning him, there was one standing by that the Holy Spirit and God is going to change his life greatly. And as we get into that this morning here in chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made lamentation over him. As for Saul, this young man that they had laid Stephen's clothing out and all, that was really causing lots of problems with the followers of Jesus. As we see here in verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison, just because they was following Jesus. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. You see, when you're truly God's people, you're not going to stop them from preaching the word. that up until the time of their death. They're going to continue to preach that word. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's heartbreaking for us. But we know that we are not alone. We're not having to bear any of it by ourselves. And we know that we have one with us that will give us the strength to get through whatever it is and to be able to live with it. Now, here in 5, says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You see, we do need the power of God within our churches, in our ministries, because it does let them see that God is still at work today. We're not seeing much of it because God cannot find the men that are willing to lay down their lives and to go through what they will have to go through in order to do this. Now, 6, we just seen the miracles and all, which he did. Now, 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Even the demonic spirits had to obey. They were called out. There was great joy in that city, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He's using sorcery. In other words, today we call it witchcraft. Now, but he's doing it to build himself up. In verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now that is exactly what they were calling him, because of his witchcraft and his sorcery. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. A long time. We don't know how long, it just says a long time. And 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, here in 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, You see, here we're about to learn something else, that there is a whole lot of contradiction. Preach against this. Now, they sent Peter and John. We don't even know how long it took them to make this journey, and how long it was before they even heard that Samaria had received the word of God. But we know there was time. 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Think about that a minute. Take time to think about that for just a moment. We have got so many out here teaching today that just because you go to an altar and go through the act of repentance, and I mean to do it sincerely, and accept Jesus and ask him to come into your life, and you go and you are baptized, a big percentage of our churches are teaching that at that same time you are automatically baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you see, God's word is telling you that is not necessarily so. It can happen, yes. But it does not always happen. There are those who will go weeks and months and even years later because of the way they were raised and brought up and things they were taught and things they were not taught, to where really they don't know anything about it. God is not going to give you something that you don't know anything about and you don't know how to use it. And the word tells us here, right there in 16, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. You see, child of God, there is great power in you. Not because of you, but because of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit that is living in you. Now, but you see, we can always want things for the wrong reason, too. Now this Simon, it said he had been dealing in witchcraft and sorceries, but they said up here that he believed and he was even baptized. But now listen, in 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And you see, that's not the way we receive anything from God. His gifts and his love and his mercy is not bought with money. Are there times and things where we should give God money? Yes. We're really not giving it to him because he don't need it. But we pay tithes to the church. And we are supposed to. In fact, in Malachi, we are told that when we don't pay tithes, in God's eyes, we're a robber and a thief. A lot of them out there that don't. And they believe that they are sons of God. One day, they're going to find out just how short they really are. And it could be all because of that one thing. Because you see, they are using God's money for their own purpose, because 10th of your income belongs to him. It's not yours. It's his. Now, he wanted that, but they told him now, there in 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. You see, we need to be right. And it is the right heart that will bring the gifts of God to your life. God will give them to you when your heart is right. And everyone won't use the same gifts. But God will give you gifts according to what he wants of you. He has everything planned out for you. So he knows exactly what is going on. Now, 22. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. He's wanting forgiveness now. And you know, God says when we really and truly will repent and ask for forgiveness, we'll receive it. We have to be honest with God and truthful with him. Think about it. Now, 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. You see, they didn't argue about it, and they didn't even stop and think about it. When God told them to do something, they just went and done it. Because they had their trust in him, knowing, even if they didn't know how it was to be and how they was to get there, they would go ahead and start out because they knew he would see that they made it. What about you today? Are you walking in that kind of faith? If not, you are missing out on so much of God's blessings in your life. Think about it. Now, it says, then he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now, he must have been long about chapter 53 of Isaiah. This doesn't say, but listen to what this is saying. It lets us know. You see, that's why we need to be knowing the Word of God. Now, 29. Then the Spirit, he's sitting in the chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Go down there. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? He's asking, Do you really understand what you're reading? Because he knows this man is a man of great authority. And most of those in that day and time didn't want anything to do with anything that had to do with Christianity. Now, 31. And he said, How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He said, How can I unless some man guides me? He's not understanding. Because you see, he is not yet right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he doesn't know anything about him. Now, 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was a sheep. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment, was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. That's where he was at in Isaiah 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." His heart is changing. His heart is growing. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. He's happy now, ain't he? So much has changed already for him. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, we end there with chapter 8. Chapter 9 is about 43 verses long, so we're not going to get into that until this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we'll be going into that. And we're going to be dealing with the conversion of Saul and all of that as we study this evening and see how great changes happen when you really and truly accept the word of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And when you are dealing with God in truth and honesty and doing everything that you know and understand and growing every day, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for another day. Now, Father, use this day to help us to grow. To grow in thy spirit. To grow in thy word. To grow, Father, toward thy kingdom. And Father, help us to reach out to the lost that's in this dying world, Father. A world that has gone haywire. And a world that is wanting to refuse the Lord Jesus Christ. That is turning against Christianity. Against you, Father, and against the church. And this land of ours, Father, a land that had no excuse whatsoever, that knew, Father, because it was a land that you had blessed greatly. A land, Father, it was the one time mainly belonged to you. And it let things in to the churches, Father, that should never have gotten through the front door. But they let it in. They're standing today, Father, believing evil things and accepting them. Father, accepting them as things that are not evil. And Father, they're allowing things that should never be. Now, Father, help us to take out of office of our government those that has brought so much evil upon our people. And help us to replace them, Father, with ones that will walk in righteousness, that will work with us to help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, in that being, Father, your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for all that will hear this message, I pray for healing for them, Father. Your word tells us that we are healed by his stripes. There's no mighty, there's no maybe. It says we are healed by his stripes. That is a promise, Father. And you keep your promises. Your word tells us that. You cannot lie. That's one thing you can't do, Father. Your word tells us that also. But you cannot lie. You are God. Oh, Father. Father, they are many that is in need of healing today, healing of body, healing of mind, healing of heart. Help all, Father. May the Holy Spirit work among them and help to turn them, Father, from evil ways unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And may they fulfill that plan of salvation, Father, according to your word, according to your will and your way. Be with us now, Father. Keep us safe through this day with whatever we have to do. Keep us in hell, Father. And we know that you love us, Father. Give us of your mercy and your blessing. And use us in great and mighty ways. Bring us back together, Father, at 6 p.m. this evening, Eastern Time, when we will be back into your word, Father. And back spending time with you. This is my prayer, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, all. Have a great day. Walk with God, he'll walk with you.